Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the 30th day of Sivan, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Masechta Yoma, Perek Shvi'i, Mishnah Hey. Kohen Gadol Meshamesh B'Shmoni Kelim. The Kohen Gadol would be used his eight clothes, he would wear his eight clothes during the year. V'ahedyot Ba'arba. The ordinary Kohen would serve wearing only four clothes. B'chsonis, the shirt, or b'chnesayim, the pants, mitznefes, the hat, v'avneik, on the belt. Moisif aleim, alav kohen gadol, the kohen gadol would have in addition to that, or to the ordinary kohen, another four clothes. They are known as the big days of golden clothes because of the gold that they contained, or most of them contained. Choshen, you had the breastplate made of five threads, gold thread, blue wool, purple wool, crimson wool, and linen. The ephod, and there was the apron that was made also of five threads, exactly like the choshen. It was made like an apron that he's wearing on his clothes from the back, and it would be tied from the front against his heart. Umeil, there was the long blue cloak made just of blue wool, of trellis, and on the bottom of it there were bells of gold, so that you could hear the voice, you could hear the sound of it when he entered the Kodesh. Vatzitz, and he would have also a golden headband. And upon that golden headband, it had the words Kodesh Lashem that was placed on his forehead. Be'elu nisholin bu'urim v'tumim. With these eight clothes, then the Kohen Gadol could be approached and asked a question of the Urim v'tumim. But he had to wear the eight clothes. How did it work? The Kohen Gadol would stand facing the Urim. The questioner would stand behind him, facing the back of the Kohen. Others say that the questioner would have facing toward the Kohen. And then the Shoel, the questioner, would ask, shall I do this or not? He would ask it in a soft voice, as if he's talking to himself, as if he's davening by himself. And then the Ruach HaKodesh would envelop the Kohen. He would look at his breastplate. He would see the letters protruding in the Choshen, in the breastplate, and telling him either do this or not. And he would provide the answer. Vein nisholin elo lamelech o levestin. And the Urim v'Tumim would only be used to be asking for a king or a beis din. That means the highest court, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, or lemisha hatzibur tzarach bai, or for someone who the whole community needed. This is learned from the Psukim, lifnei elazar hakohen yamoid, that the leader should stand in front of the elazar hakohen, the person asking the question, v'shoa loy b'mishpat urim lifnei Hashem, and he should ask of the direction from the Urim v'Tumim. And then it says later on, al piv yetzov, al piv yavoyu, by his word they shall go out and they shall come in, hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael itai v'chol ha'eda. There are three expressions used here. Hu refers to Melech, the king. It's talking about Yeshua there in the Pasuk. V'chol b'nei Yisrael itai, and all the Jewish people with him. This refers to Moshuach Melchama, the Kohen that was anointed to go out to war. All b'nei Yisrael needed him, or went out with him to go out to war, and they followed him afterwards. And Kol ha'eda, the whole community or assembly, that's the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin are called the Eidah. Perek Shmini, Mishnah Aleph. This perek, the last perek of our Masechta, deals with the prohibitions of Yom Kippur, particularly the relating to the inui, the pain, the afflictions that apply in Yom Kippur. Similarly, our perek is going to talk about Teshuvah and Kapara. Our Mishnah is going to list the five inuim, or the five afflictions that apply in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim asur b'achila uvishtia. One is prohibited in eating and drinking. That's considered together as one inui, as one affliction. Uvirchitza, and washing. That's the second, washing with water. Uvisicha, prohibited to anoint with oil. That's the third one. Uvin lasa sandal, to wear shoes, wear things of leather. That's number four. Uvasash mishamita, and marital relations, number five. The psukim How do we know the five inuim, the five afflictions? The Torah uses the word ta'ano ve'inisem. There are five times it mentions inuim. You should pain yourself on Yom Kippur. And there is one other time that it actually mentions ki kol ha'nefesh asher loisu une be'etzem yamaseh v'nichasa me'ameha. There's only one time that it actually talks about the punishment of Korah, that the soul, the person that will not afflict themselves on this very day, they will get Korah. And Achazal learned that this refers to one inuy in particular, and that is the affliction of eating and drinking. That's the only one that will incur the penalty of Korah. As to why this is the exception, we have Machlokas, we have the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, who learns that really, Min HaTorah, all prohibitions, all the inuim are asur, or all the afflictions are prohibited. And this is because it's all covered by the word Shabbosoin, v'nisem snafshe seichem, the extra word. We learn Shabbos Shabbosoin here, v'nisem snafshe seichem, it refers to all the inuim. However, the main inuim nefesh, the main affliction of the soul, is only eating and drinking, as the Gemara learns, and it is this affliction which will incur the penalty of Korah if not kept. Others learn that the Min HaTorah, we're only told about inui nefesh achil ushtia. That's the one they have on Issur Korah. But other afflictions are only midrabbanan, and all the droshes that we have are really asmachtas, are really support for it. But it's not that the Torah is telling you that it's also to wash and also to anoint with oil, etc. Nevertheless, even according to those opinions that hold that the other inuim are min ha-Torah, since they're not explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk only mentions inui ha-Nefesh, it doesn't say it explicitly, rather we darshan them from the extra word Shabbosin, as we said before, from the Ran, they are lenient, more lenient than achil ha-Shtia. And what the Torah did is, the Torah gave it over to the Chachamim to interpret it. And therefore, the Torah gives the power, the Chachamim, to therefore explain what those inuim are. And because it did, therefore the Chachamim have the ability to make it lighter and to be matter for them, to matter as they felt, as they saw fit. So again, according to the Ran, even though it's Min HaTorah, it's still within the capacity of the Chachamim to work out how to apply it, as we'll soon see in the following part of the Mishnah. V'hamelech v'hakala yirchatzu espanayim. So therefore, a king and a kala, a newly married woman, are they allowed to wash their faces on Yom Kippurim? They can wash it with water. The king, why is that? Because there's a pasuk in Yeshayah which says, the king you shall see in his beauty, in his glory. Well, he has to be always seen in his yofia. A kala, so she should not appear she should not appear unappealing to her husband, a newly married bride. What's called a newly married bride, according to the Gemara, until 30 days after the chuppah, she's still called a kala for this purpose. The hachaya, and a woman who's just given birth, tinoil es asandal, she's allowed to wear proper shoes on Yom Kippurim because the coldness of the floor would be difficult for her, so she can wear proper shoes. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, these are the words of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the Chachamim did make a leniency for a king and a kala in terms of washing, and for a chaya, a woman given birth, who gave birth in respect of the shoes. But Chachamim Eisrin, the Chacham say no. There were no exceptions made, not for a king or a kala or a chaya as well. But the halacha is not like the Chachamim here. The halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, that those exceptions are indeed valid.